Today on A Daily Walk.
Listen, if you want to be used by God, just know this, you got to be broken. You got to be humble. And God has ways of doing that. You might start out thinking you got it all. Hey, Lord, I can see why you'd use me. It's pretty obvious, you know? And then God will show you, you got nothing apart from me. Oh, how good it is to be humbled by the Lord, to be broken by the Lord, because that's when you're useful. It's when you think that you're all that, and find out you're not, that you're no good to anybody in that sense, if you're filled with yourself. And so God has to empty us. God, and we wrestle with that. We wrestle with that.
We hope you're having a wonderful day in the Lord, and welcome again to A Daily Walk. In Genesis 32, Jacob enters into a wrestling match with God. Talk about a fight you can't win. And yet many still today are wrestling with God. Maybe that would describe you. But the good news for Jacob is following this time of defeat came wonderful victory in his life. Here's Pastor John Randall with his message, No Match for God.
At this time now, Jacob went on his way. It says in chapter 32 in verse 1, and notice as he's on his way that the angels of God met him. And when Jacob saw them, he said, this is God's camp. And he called the name of that place Mahanaim. After 20 years of hardship, it seemed like maybe things were finally turning around for Jacob. After all that he'd gone through, it wasn't for nothing. He was now a wealthy man. He had a large family. He had the blessing of God upon his life. And even as he's approaching the land, he sees angels in a camp, so much so that he calls it a double camp. The angels have their camp. We have a camp next to the angels. I mean, God's in this. And I mean, just you can imagine just, oh, I can breathe. I'm going home. This is exciting. God's got new things for me. He made that promise to me. Oh, 20 years is coming to pass. I knew God was in it. I knew this is exciting. He starts going back and he has this miraculous vision. These angels are surrounding him. He's blessed. He's encouraged by God's, presence and protection. And there's only one problem. Esau, who's Esau? That's his brother. His big, red, hairy brother that he ripped off 20 years earlier. He's still there. And so now Jacob, as he begins to go home, he realizes, oh, Esau's there. And so he starts out by letting him know, I'm coming back into town. Wanted to let you know. It's been 2 decades. Look at verse 3. Then Jacob sent messengers before him to Esau, his brother, in the land of Seir, in the country of Edom. And he commanded them, saying, speak thus to my lord Esau. Thus your servant, Jacob, says, I've dwelt with Laban, stayed there until now. I have oxen, donkeys, flocks, male and female servants, and I've sent to tell my lord that I might find favor in your sight. Interesting how he's starting to let his brother know, calls his brother, tell Lord Esau, his servant, humble servant Jacob is on his way home. And hopefully bygones are bygones. I can find favor in his sight. Well, look at verse 6. The messengers returned to Jacob saying, we came to your brother Esau, and he is also coming to meet you, and 400 men are with him. What a welcoming party. Why all the men? It's just me and my wife and children. 400 men, that's a small army. And typically, that's the kind of group that would go out and do battle if necessary. So Jacob, verse 7, you can understand, was greatly afraid and distressed. And he divided the people that were with him and the flocks and the herds and the camels into two companies. And he said, all right, if Esau comes to this company and attacks it, then the other company which is left will escape. What does Jacob do? You know what he does? He results back to what he used to do. He's now put in this place. He's got the promise of God, the blessing of God. He's coming back in. But what does he do when push comes to shove, when it's crunch time and he's being squeezed? He goes right back into the old Jacob. He starts planning, scheming. Okay, here's what we got to do. If he's coming, what are we going to do? Well, okay, we'll divide this way and then we'll divide that way. And then if he comes, well, at least one of us will escape and maybe we could... Get away. He starts scheming. Why? Because he's afraid. Because he's distressed. He just starts trying to figure it out, how he's going to avoid what's coming or what he thinks is coming. How do you respond? How do I respond when God puts me in situations that are distressing? Do I bring God into it? Do I lean upon the promises he has made, or do I try to figure it out? It's interesting because the word distressed here in the Hebrew, it's the primitive word. It means to press. It means to be narrow in a narrow spot, figuratively, like you're trapped. He's narrow, he's in straits, he's vexed. And this is how he reacts. He starts sending his, and then after that, what he does, I'll tell you this, his prayer life increases. That's a good thing. Oh God, you say, well, I don't really pray much. Wait till you hit a trial. God teaches us how to pray. Isn't that interesting that the things that it takes to make us men and women of prayer? We hit a trial. You know, there's one prayer in the day of prosperity, and there's thousands that go up in the day of adversity. We pray like we never prayed before. We get on our knees, on our face. Oh God, be merciful to me. Look at Jacob's prayer of desperation and dependence on God. And God is using this, guys, in his life. And look at what it says in verse 9. Then Jacob said, "Oh God of my father Abraham, God of my father Isaac, the Lord who said to me, 'Return to your country and to your family, and I will deal well with you.'" Look at the humility of Jacob in verse 10. "I am not worthy of the least of all the mercies and of all the truth which you've shown your servant. I crossed over this Jordan with my staff, and now I've become two companies." Look at the humility. I mean, before, Jacob would say, "I am worthy of it. In fact, I'll take it." But now he's at this place where God has brought him, where he's humble. Sometimes God has to do things in our lives to bring us to a place of humility that we realize, if not for the Lord in my life, I would have nothing. I mean, it's true. Nobody's self-made here. By the grace of God, we are what we are. What God has provided, what God has done in your life, the gifts that God's given you, the abilities he's given you, what he has provided, your family, whatever, it's a gift from God. And Jacob comes to this place now that he's pressed, he's vexed, and he says, "God, I'm not worthy of the," notice that, "of the least of the mercies you've given me." When Jacob left, he had a stick. He left with a stick. And he came back with a family and livestock and all the blessings of God, the promises of God on his life. And notice the honesty also, please, of Jacob in verse 11. "Deliver me, I pray, from the hand of my brother, from the hand of Esau, for I fear him." I'm going to be honest with you, God. I'm afraid lest he come and attack me and the mother with the children. He's humble before God. He's honest with God. I think it's time to get honest with God. I mean, just be honest with him. Tell him, he already knows. Sometimes we want to just dance around the issue. That's not the issue. This is the issue. Be honest with God. "Lord, this is my problem. This is what I struggle with. This is what I've been engaged in. Lord, I'm afraid. That's just it. That's why I'm acting the way I'm acting. Or I'm insecure." All right, then say it. Say it for what it is. Be honest with God. And then I also love that he reminds God of his promise. Notice verse 12. "You said..." Let's be clear on this. "You said, 'I will surely treat you well, and I'll make your descendants as the sand of the sea, which cannot be numbered for a multitude.'" Folks, listen, it's really important for us when we are in prayer, when we are in situations like Jacob is, really, that we remind God of what he said. Not because God forgets. You know, God doesn't forget what he said. I forget. And so when I pray the promises of God, I'm reminding myself, but I'm also saying, because God keeps his promises. So when I'm saying it, "God, you did say this, because I have it right here. And so I'm claiming this promise, Lord, because you said it, and I believe it." I'm reminding myself of what God said. Listen, when you're confronted with something distressing or you're in a spot tonight, what has God said to you? What has he said? He said, "Don't lean on your own understanding." He said, "Seek me first. And all these things will be added unto you. My righteousness, you seek me, I'll take care of it."
He said to trust in him. He said that he would provide peace that surpasses understanding. These are all the things that God said. I have to take hold of the exceedingly great and precious promises, and I pray them in and I pray them out, reminding myself, that's what you said. Notice Jacob, after he prays, he's also active. Look at verse 13. We're almost through. So he lodged there that same night. And it says, and took what came to his hand as a present for Esau, his brother. 200 female goats, 20 male goats, 200 ewes and 20 rams, 30 milk camels with their colts, 40 cows, 10 bulls, 20 female donkeys, 10 foals. And then he delivered them to the hand of his servants. Every drove by itself. And he said to his servants, here's how we're going to do this. Pass over before me and put some distance between the successive droves. We're going to find that he ended up giving him like over 500 animals. That's like a big farm. I mean, this guy had a lot of livestock. So what he does is he plans, here's how we're going to do it. It says, what we're going to do, verse 16, he delivered them to the hand of his servants. Every drove by itself, pass over before me, put some distance between the successive droves. And he commanded the first one, saying, when Esau, my brother, meets you and asks you, saying, to whom do you belong and where are you going? Whose are these in front of you? Then you shall say, they are your servant Jacob's. It is a present to my lord Esau, and behold, he is also behind us. And so he commanded the second and the third and all who followed the droves, saying, in this manner you shall speak to Esau when you find him. And also say, behold, your servant Jacob is behind us. For he said, I will appease him with the present that goes before me. And afterward, I'll see his face. Perhaps he will accept me. So the present went on over before him. But he himself lodged that night in the camp. What does Jacob do? He just starts trying to soften up Esau. Send 100 sheep with you. Just take them. And when Esau says, hey, what's all these sheep? These are a present for you from Jacob, your servant. He's coming. He's behind us. Wow, that's a lot of sheep. Next wave. Give him all these bulls. Whose are these? These are also, and just laying it on thick, giving his brother all these things. Maybe Jacob is really trying to do right by his brother. He knows he ripped him off. He knows that what he did was wrong so many years ago. Maybe he's trying to make amends. Either way, he's afraid. And he continues. And then after he did that, there was nothing else he could do. And this is where we conclude tonight. I want you to see this. Verse 22, and he arose that night, and he took his two wives, his two female servants, his 11 sons. He crossed over the ford of Jabbok. He took them, sent them over the brook, and sent over what he had. Then Jacob was left alone. And a man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. Jacob now, he's all by himself. He's alone. The wives, the children, they're ahead. And he's by himself. And in that moment, when he's alone, it says that Jacob wrestled. A man wrestled with him until the breaking of day. And when you see this wrestling match unfold, you realize really from the beginning of Jacob's life, he'd always been wrestling. Wrestling with everybody, wrestled with his brother, wrestled with his dad, wrestled with Laban. But ultimately, we're going to find out that Jacob was really wrestling with the Lord. And in fact, one man by the name of G. Campbell Morgan calls this incident in the life of Jacob the crippling that crowns. And that's essentially what this story is about, folks. God breaking a man in order to make a man. God humbling a man who is so self-oriented, governed by his own desires. And for 20 years, the Lord has been pounding and shaping and molding and preparing and working. And there's Jacob resisted and fought and struggled. And now he's here in this moment. And this event right here that takes place in his life, this is a turning point. This is a time of brokenness, a time of repentance, a time of getting right with God, a time of surrender. It was a time of defeat that actually turned into victory. And I'll tell you something. Listen, if you want to be used by God, just know this. You got to be broken. You got to be humble. And God has ways of doing that. You might start out thinking you got it all. Hey, Lord, I can see why you'd use me. It's pretty obvious. And then God will show you, you got nothing apart from me. Oh, how good it is to be humbled by the Lord, to be broken by the Lord, because that's when you're useful. It's when you think that you're all that and find out you're not, that you're no good to anybody in that sense, if you're filled with yourself. And so God has to empty us. God, and we wrestle with that. We wrestle with that. And notice in verse 25, it says, and he saw that he did not prevail against him, that he touched the socket of his hip. And the socket of Jacob's hip was out of joint, and he wrestled with him. And he said to him, let me go, for the day breaks. But he said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. So here Jacob's wrestling all night, and he's fighting back and forth. And then finally, as the day is breaking, his hip goes out of socket. It's touched. The muscle actually shrivels up in that moment. And now he's crippled. Because think about this. There's one thing that Jacob could still do. Even if Esau took all the presents, attacked his family, Jacob could still run until now. You know, when you read this passage, I remember growing up and being a wrestler myself, not professionally, but you understand. It's cool. You know, sometimes you get the wrong impression. You think Jacob had him in a chokehold. You know, the angel of the Lord just, listen, I'm not letting you go until you bless me. You might have took out my hip, but I'm going to take out your neck. You know, you think that's, you kind of get this picture in your mind like Jacob was just, had him in a grip and I'm not going to let you go and let you bless me. So there, you better bless me. But it's very important to realize there is a passage of scripture. It's Hosea chapter 12 in verse 4. And it actually gives us a commentary on what really happened. And I want you to hear this verse, Hosea chapter 12, verse 4. It says, he struggled with the angel and prevailed. Notice verse 4. I want you to see it because it's really important. He struggled with the angel and prevailed. And notice this, he wept and sought favor from him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spoke to us. Basically what happens there, Hosea chapter 12, verse 4. This wasn't Jacob having a grip on the angel saying, I'm not going to let you go unless you bless me. This is Jacob wounded, crippled, pleading, weeping, saying, don't go. Don't go unless you bless me. This is a man who is totally broken. This is a man that's at the end of himself. That's really what you see here. And he's crying out and he's saying, please. You know, in the past, if he wanted a blessing, he stole it. If he wanted a blessing, I'll take it. I'll deceive. I'll do whatever I got to do to get what I want. That's how I operate. He was a supplanter. He was a deceiver. From the time that he came out, man, he was grabbing people's heels. I mean, that's just what he was. And now he's in this place where he's broken and he's beside himself and he's crippled and he can't run anymore. And he just says, God, please, please bless me. He's desperate. And notice that the Lord responds to him. And he said to him, verse 27, what's your name? Why don't you be honest? What's your name? It's Jacob. Supplanter, deceiver. And he said, your name shall no longer be called Jacob, but Israel. For you have struggled with God and with men and have prevailed. And Jacob said, tell me your name, I pray. And he said, why is it that you ask me about my name? And he blessed him there. Jacob's birth name, of course, was supplanter, heel catcher. You remember when he came out, he grabbed hold of his brother's heel, Esau, and so, hey, let's call him heel catcher. And it stuck. And he really lived up to that name. He was always cheating, supplanting. And yet Jacob's struggle, ultimately, it wasn't with Esau. It wasn't with his father or Laban. His struggle was with God. And tonight, maybe you're wrestling with God. I want to let you know you're no match for him. You can wrestle all you want. There's an easy way and there's a hard way. Surrender brings victory. When Jacob realized that he was defeated, that's when he was victorious. When Jacob realized that he was weak, that's when there was a strength that he tapped into that wasn't accessible earlier. God changed his name. God changed his life, making him into a different man with a new nature. And like every single one of us, we have a similar encounter with the Lord, where we understand, at least we need to understand, that apart from Jesus, Jesus said it, apart from me, you can do nothing. And until we come to that place, there's really nothing that can be done in and through our lives. Our natural abilities, our resources are limited, but when we come to a place, whether it's like Isaiah that says, Lord, I'm undone. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among a people of unclean lips. I need you. It's from that humble position, there in that place called Peniel, where God begins to work.
We're in a study of Genesis right now on A Daily Walk, and we'll return to Pastor John Randall in just a minute. If you joined us late today, go online to adailywalk.org and catch what you missed. If you'd rather have a CD copy sent your way for a cost of $5, call us at 877-242-0828 or order resources online through our e-store at adailywalk.org. You can also listen through our app, and that can be found in the App Store or Google Play by searching for Calvary South OC. Look for our podcast wherever you get your podcasts. You may have noticed from time to time we'd like to offer you clothing you can sport around town that has a thought-provoking message displayed for all to see. And this month we're excited to offer you the In God We Trust t-shirt. You can take a look at it right now at adailywalk.org. This month we've reduced the price to $16 for our A Daily Walk listeners. Again, order online at adailywalk.org or call 877-242-0828. Your gifts help us to bring Pastor John's teachings to the radio and internet, and for that, we are truly grateful. So thank you in advance for whatever God leads you to do. Donations can be made online at adailywalk.org. Now with some personal application flowing from Genesis chapter 32, here's Pastor John once again.
You'll notice as we conclude, then Jacob called the name of that place, verse 30, Peniel. For he said, I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. And just as he crossed over Peniel, the sun rose on him. And notice, he limped on his hip. Therefore, to this day, the children of Israel do not eat the muscle that shrank, which is on the hip socket, because he touched the socket of Jacob's hip and the muscle that shrank. The Lord touched Jacob's life. And from that moment, he was never the same. Oh, there was a limp. He couldn't run anymore. He couldn't get away. In one sense, you could say that Jacob was coming to the end of himself. And the sooner we get to that place of coming to the end of ourself, that's when, really, again, we come to the strength of the Lord. We come to what God wants us to be. And you can fight with God, and you can wrestle with God, and you can say, I don't like what you're making, and I don't like what you're doing, and I don't like these circumstances, and what does God have to do in a life to bring us to the end? You ever observe a life and think, what else has to happen? I mean, is rock bottom further down than that? Because that's pretty low. I mean, what else do you have to lose before you will humble yourself? What else does God have to do? What does he have to do to get your attention? Does he have to cripple you? God forbid. Does he have to, like, bring you to this place where your heart's so broken because you pursued every single relationship that you went after out of God's will and it's all shattered? Now you're going to listen to me because, no, God tries to protect us from that. Tries to keep us from that. This is what you're going to do. You're going to, you know, kind of just go and after the flesh and pursue it and then, you know, just see how it goes. And then eventually, does it have to get to that point? I say it doesn't. And if you're wrestling with God, I'm going to tell you to do one thing. Tap out. And he'll do it. I mean, God will touch your life. And maybe right now, you know, God put his finger, you know, as it were, on the hip socket. I mean, shrunk it, so he's limping from then on. And maybe God's putting his finger on something. This is the thing that's right here This is it. This is the thing I want to do. Will we humble ourselves? We stop looking and depending on self, and we start looking and depending on the Savior. That's when God really begins to work. And I can think of so many things in my own life where the Holy Spirit has had to humble me and break me and mold me. And he's still doing it, by the way. It's a lifelong process. We're perfect when we're in heaven. He who began the good work in us, he'll be faithful to complete it until the day of Christ Jesus. The work's complete then, not now. I'm in the process, and so are you. How's the Lord speaking to you tonight?
Well, that'll do it for today, but come back next week when we'll pick up where we left off in Genesis here on A Daily Walk with John Randall. A Daily Walk is a presentation of Calvary South OC.